The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Ameche.
This is Don Ameche greeting you again and saying hello for all your Chase and Sanborn friends. Dorothy L'Amour, Donald Dixon, Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, sure. Never too busy to say hello.
No, that's right, Charlie. We want everybody to feel at home.
Yeah, kindly report any discourtesy to the management, too.
Well, I hope that won't be necessary, Charlie, so watch yourself, will you? We have some very special guests this evening whom I know you're going to like.
Yeah, if satisfied, tell others.
Charlie.
Be the first in your neighborhood to own one of these new super deluxe models.
Look, Charlie, you're not only being rude, but you're holding up our guests.
Well, a small deposit will hold any guest until Christmas. Ameche, will you stop stalling and introduce the guests?
Yeah, I will, Charlie, if you give me half a chance. Well, our very warmest welcome to our very charming guests, Ida Lupino and Barbara Jo Allen. We hope you'll all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn.
Very nicely put, Mr. Ameche.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy.
Just leave your name and phone number and we'll let you know if anything comes up.
Well, McCarthy, something is coming up and right pleasant, too. So sound the fanfare, beat the drums, and forward march as Donald Dixon sings George Gershwin's stirring melody, Strike Up the Band.
Big parade, enlisted in the toy brigade. We're out to put down Mr. Gloom and the blues that follow after.
We'll send them to their sorry gloom and conquer them with laughter.
So load your hearts with smiles and song. Come on and sing and swing along. Rum, dum, 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 dum. Let the drums roll out, boom, boom, boom. Let the trumpet call, while the people shout, strike up the band. Hear the cymbals ring,
ding, ding, ding.
Calling one and all, to the marshal swing, strike up the band. There is work to be done, to be done. There's a war to be won, to be won. Come, you son of a gun, make your stand. Fall in line, ye folk, come along, let's go. Hey, lead us, strike up the band.
Mr. Dixon.
Yes, Charlie?
Mr. Dixon, can you keep a secret?
Sure I can.
Oh, good. Well, I'll tell you. I need 25 cents. That's the secret, see?
Oh, well, don't worry, Charlie. I won't tell a soul.
Yeah, well, that ain't what I mean.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know why I continue to be optimistic about this thing, but I still think and I still have hopes of separating you from a quarter.
Say, Charlie, don't you think you're too big to go around begging for a quarter?
I agree with you, Mr. Dixon. It's a half a buck or nothing, huh? What do you say?
Charlie.
Hello, hello, Bergen. Hello.
Charlie.
Yes?
You mustn't ask Donald for money.
No?
No.
Why not? There's no sense in asking you. You won't give it to me.
Well, after all, you have no right to ask people for money unless you have been of service to them.
Oh. Well?
Well, what?
Well, you've been working pretty steady lately, haven't you?
Charlie, your whole attitude towards money is wrong.
Well, it must be. I'm not getting any.
You mustn't expect to receive things for nothing.
Uh-huh.
I remember as a very young boy...
Oh, we're going into that again.
I learned that lesson from the story of the Pied Piper, as told to me by my nursemaid.
Your nursemaid?
Yes.
Is she still with you?
No.
Huh?
No, of course not. She hasn't been with me for years.
Oh, she hasn't?
No.
Oh. Is him a big man now?
No.
Well, what was the story she told you about the pie-eyed piper?
No. What's that?
The plumber with his snoot full.
No. The Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Oh, yes, quite so, quite. Well, why don't you tell us the story, Mr. Bergen, huh?
Well, no.
Oh, come now, why don't you tell us, huh? Let's get him to tell the story.
Well, really, Charlie, you're much too old for that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just a kindergarten story.
Well, you'll enjoy it. Oh, go on, tell it, huh? Oh, come on, huh?
Well, I don't think this is the time or the place.
Oh, sure it is. You tell them so well, Mr. Bergen. Oh, you're so good at it. Oh, you're so good at stories.
Well, I...
Oh, come on.
Well, I...
He always slips on that oil.
Well, it's just a child's tale that can be told in a very few words.
Well, if you're going to tell it, that's the way we want it.
Well, very well, I will.
Oh, good.
You?
We are in luck, aren't we?
Once upon a time...
Oh, it has an original beginning, hasn't it?
Once upon a time...
You've already said that.
Yes, I know. But nevertheless, once upon a time...
You're going to be sure of that, aren't you? We're convinced of that.
Yes. In the little town of Hamelin, it was overrun with rodents.
Rodents?
Yes.
Rodents? What's rodents?
Rats.
Well, you don't have to be nasty.
All right. Now, the people of this village were at a loss as to how to get rid of these pests.
Uh-huh.
And one summer day, their chance to stray...
Oh, get him! We have a word weaver, a phrase spinner. Do you press flowers, too?
No. A young man came to the village, and he was called the Pied Piper.
What did he do?
All right. He went to the mayor and said, I will rid the town of rats for 1,000 guilders.
Uh-huh.
And the mayor said, I will give you 50,000 guilders.
That's all right. Did he get it in writing?
No.
That's bad.
Yeah.
How was he going to get rid of the rats in that town?
Well, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
You see, around his neck, he carried a flute.
Uh-huh.
And he could play weird music on this pipe.
Yeah?
Which would make the rats follow him.
Yeah? They'll do the same thing for a piece of cheese.
No. But he didn't need anything like that.
Probably the music was cheesy already. What did he play?
Never mind. Well, some very strange melody.
Yeah, must have been a mouster piece.
Never mind.
Probably the revel of the rodents. I could go on like this for hours, but you wouldn't like it.
All right. I don't know what he played, but I do know that the rats followed him out of town and down to the river.
Uh-huh.
And then the rats all jumped into the water and drowned.
Why didn't they swim?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Well, why did they go in the water if they couldn't swim?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Maybe they'd rather drown than listen to the music, huh?
Well, now, that's probably what it was. Yes, probably what it was.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't like the music, why did they follow him?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
It's a wonder you wouldn't get the facts of the story before you tried to tell it.
The rats followed him and they went into the water and they drowned.
Yeah?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No.
Well, they did go in the water.
Yes.
And they did drown.
I don't believe it.
Well, why don't you?
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't believe it, that's all. I just guess I just got one of those nasty streaks. Guess it's the Swedish in me, I don't know. Just can't explain.
Yeah. You don't believe it?
I'm sorry, I don't. Just don't believe it, and that's that.
Yes. Well, that's the story, just the same.
Uh-huh. I still don't believe it.
Yes, I know.
I admit you can lead a rat to water, but you can't make him sink.
Oh, I... Nevertheless, when the pie-eyed piper... the Pied Piper...
I think you were right the first time.
All right. When he went back to Hamelin to collect his 1,000 guilders, what do you think the mayor said?
I don't believe it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you.
You will? Good.
Yes. The mayor said, I will give you...
was Donald Dixon, right? So, continue, Mr. Bergen.
Yes.
We'll go on as if nothing had happened. Nothing much has, no.
Well, he promised him, 1,000 guilders.
Yes.
And then the mayor said, as I told you, that he would only give him 50.
That's a pretty dirty deal.
Yes. Now...
That's quite a discount for cash.
Yes, it is. And it wasn't fair, but Pied Piper got his revenge.
What did he do?
All right. He played his pipe again, and this time all the children followed him, and he led them into a mountain.
Into a mountain?
Yes. The mountain mysteriously opened up and let them in, and after they entered... The mountain mysteriously closed.
Yeah.
And the children were never heard from again.
Is that so?
And that is the story of Pied Piper.
And just about a duller thing as I've ever listened to.
Now, I don't say that it's a true story, but there is a moral to it.
Yeah, I get it. Never do business on credit.
All
The new musical show, Yokel Boy, introduced a captivating swing tune that is climbing to the top of the song hit so rapidly it's leaving a trail of musical stardust behind it. We think it's swell, and we feel sure you'll agree. It's called Comes Love. And so comes music, and comes our own Dorothy L'Amour singing it.
Comes a rainstorm, put your rubbers on your feet. Comes a snowstorm, you can get a little heat. Comes love, nothing can be done. Comes a fire, then you know just what to do. Blow a tire, you can buy another shoe. Comes love, nothing can be done. Don't try hiding, cause there isn't any use. You'll start sliding when your heart turns on the juice. Comes a headache, you can lose it in a day. Comes a toothache, see your dentist right away. Comes love, nothing can be done. Comes a summons, you can hide behind a door. Comes love, nothing can be done. Comes the measles, you can quarantine the room. Comes a mousey, you can chase it with a broom. Comes love, nothing can be done. You know, brother, love is always not serene. That's all, brother. If you've been through the mill, then you know what I mean. Comes a nightmare, you can always stay away. Comes depression, you may get another break. Comes love, nothing can be done. Absolutely nothing can be done.
about 58 minutes of the Chase and Sanborn Hour, a person listening in New York hears exactly the same program as a person listening in Los Angeles.
That leaves 2 minutes when it's different in various places.
That's right, Dorothy. And in those 2 minutes, each part of the country hears its own local news about Chase and Sanborn coffee. At a given signal, 12 different people in 12 different sections throw 12 different switches and start talking over 12 different networks or stations. Then, when they finish, they switch the stations back to us.
But if one person talks for 1 minute and another talks 2 minutes, isn't there going to be a mix-up when they switch it back?
Well, we hope that won't happen.
Well, why won't it?
Well, because each man has exactly the same number of seconds to tell his own Chase and Sanborn message. They all come out together. Or at least they should. Let's see how it works. All ready, gentlemen? Your time starts now.
Okay, Don Amici, and that's just time enough to tell about something special we have here in the East only. It's the Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package. And it's really amazing the way people have been changing to it. When you buy dated coffee in the new silver package, you get a fine, rich blend of coffee. But more than that, you always get it freshly roasted. And that's worth knowing because coffee can go bad, just like milk or eggs. Then it's apt to taste stale and rancid. So we make absolutely certain you get dated coffee freshly roasted. As soon as it's roasted, it's put into the new silver packages and rushed to the stores by our fast trucks. The date we deliver it is marked on every package, so you can always tell that your coffee is really fresh. You know that it will be rich and mellow. And whether you make hot coffee or iced coffee, you'll get that wonderful fresh flavor. You don't pay a cent extra for dated coffee in the new silver package. Everybody can afford it, and it's something you shouldn't miss. Try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package, and see if your family doesn't say it's the finest coffee you've ever served.
For generations, the name Lupino has been prominent in the history of the theater. Ida Lupino has gone one step further and established the name not only on the legitimate stage, but on the screen. She will shortly be seen opposite Ronald Colman in Paramount's dramatization of the Kipling story, The Light That Failed. It is a great pleasure to welcome Miss Lupino to Chase and Sanborn again and to appear with her in The Man Who Thought of Everything, a comedy written by E.N. Taylor. We present Miss Ida Lupino.
Scene, Irene's bedroom in a country house in England. It is nearly midnight, and apparently everyone in the household has retired, except Irene, who is packing all her dresses in a large suitcase. There is a quiet knock on the door.
Oh. Oh, somebody's heard me moving around and come to investigate. Well, might as well face it. Come in.
Hello, Irene.
Oh, Phyllis, it's you. What are you prowling around for?
Well, really? Is that a nice way to treat your best friend?
Oh, I'm sorry, Phyllis, only you startled me. I thought everyone had gone to bed.
Oh, not me.
Well, did you want anything?
Yes, darling. I want to borrow a lipstick.
Lipstick at this time of night?
Why not? It's no funnier than whatever it is you're doing. What are you doing anyway? Taking an inventory of your wardrobe?
Oh, no, I wasn't sleepy, so I just thought
I'd... Oh, well, never mind. Say, what's the window open for? You'll freeze to death, darling. I'd better...
Leave that window alone. I want it open.
Well, all right. But I really do want a lipstick. I'll send you another after I go home.
Oh, help yourself. It's on the dressing table.
Oh, fine. Let's see. Oh, I've got it. Thanks, Irene. You've saved my life.
Don't mention it. Good night.
Good night, darling.
Oh, wonder if she suspects anything. She looked as if she...
Irene.
Ernest. Well, I must say it's about time. Here, I'll give you a hand.
Confound these low windowsills. A man can't get a decent grip. Yeah. Well, here we are. Ready to start the great adventure? What's the matter, aren't you? Aren't you glad to see me?
Oh, yes, of course. Did you have any trouble climbing up to the window?
No, not a bit. All you need is some good strong ivy and a little experience.
Experience? Ernest, have you ever eloped before?
Why, certainly not. But I'm the man who thinks of everything. I tried this ivy out last night when you were all in bed.
Sounds awfully cold-blooded.
Well, I believe in planning for emergencies. Now, what about you? Are you all ready?
Yes, I will be in a minute. That idiot Phyllis came in and took up a lot of... Ernest, what are you doing?
Just cleaning up. That ivy on your wall is full of twigs and soot.
Wait, I'll get you a clothesbrush.
No, 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 thanks. I have one right here in my pocket. Brought it along for this very purpose.
You do think of everything, don't you, Ernest?
Well, I try to look ahead. I even have a wet sponge and a towel for my face and hands.
You know all the moves in the elopement business, don't you?
Well, I've read all the recognized authorities.
In books, the carriages always break down.
Yes, they all agree on that, so I brought a car.
A car? Well, where is it?
Just across the lawn, hidden safe and sound behind the hedge.
Well, I didn't hear you, but suppose somebody else did.
Oh, that's impossible. I prepared for that, too. She coasted down the slope without a sound. I cut off the engine.
Well, maybe it won't start again.
Oh, yes, it will. I went over it myself earlier this evening. She's a good car, that Rolls.
Yes, but even a Rolls might break down.
Well, I'm ready for that, too. We'll be followed by a Ford.
Well, you do seem to have thought of everything. But there's one item that does worry me. I'll never be able to scramble down that ivy.
My dear, you won't have to scramble. You'll go down in style, on a rope ladder.
But where?
It's right outside the window. I hooked it on just before I came in.
Well, guess that takes care of the getaway. What do we do first?
We go to London. London is the first stop.
Yes, but even I know that. But where in London?
Simpsons.
Well, I don't think I know any Simpsons.
Oh, then you've got a treat coming.
Yes, but how did they fit into this elopement?
They will sell us breakfast.
Ernest, oh, it was some matter of fact. You act as if this were an everyday affair. I'm only asking questions because I want to be sure there won't be any hitch.
My dear Irene, there will be no hitches. Everything will be just as smooth as silk. First the breakfast, then the wedding, and then we'll fly to Paris.
Yes, but wedding breakfasts are usually held after the wedding.
No, not in elopements. But anyway, we'll have an excellent lunch on the plane. It's all ordered.
Well, do you mind telling me where the ceremony is going to take place?
None at all. St. Martin's, just across from the Airways office. And I've got the special license, a clergyman I've known all my life, and two reliable witnesses. And, of course, there's the driver, the extra car, in case of emergencies.
Oh, I see. But I don't think I like the idea of flying.
Oh, but that's the whole point. The principal cause of elopement failure in the past has simply been that when the time came, people said, now we must fly, and of course they couldn't. Nowadays, when we say, now we must fly, we do. Just like that. And everything turns out perfectly. You see?
Yeah, I suppose so. Have you got the tickets for the plane?
In my pocket.
And the passports?
In my pocket.
Well, anyway, I'm not ready.
Well, I thought of that, too. So if you don't mind, I'll finish this mystery story while I wait.
Ernest, did you bring that book with you?
Why, certainly.
You know, Ernest, you're almost a little too sure of yourself. I wonder if I can trust you. Just lately, I've been a little doubtful.
Well, but why? I've done everything you asked me to. You can't possibly find a flaw in this setup, can you?
No, but this last week, your manners changed.
Well, my dear girl, it was changed at your request.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, didn't you say you were afraid we'd be suspected, and in order to avert any suspicion, didn't you ask me to appear to cool off?
Well, yes, but you needn't have been so thorough about it. It's one thing to appear to cool off, and it's quite another to warm up somewhere else.
Somewhere else? I'm afraid I don't quite follow you.
Oh, I'm only sorry I ever asked Phyllis to come and stay here.
But you told me to pay Phyllis a little attention.
A little? You've been impossible. You've neglected me for a whole week. You and Phyllis went off everywhere together and left me alone for hours.
Well, I didn't notice you being alone very much. You played golf every day with George Drummond.
Well, why shouldn't I play golf with George? I had to do something. It was just averting suspicion, and you know it. You've no right to be jealous of Georgie.
Oh, I'm not the slightest bit jealous of Georgie.
And you still want to elope? Still prepared to go through with it?
Fully prepared.
In spite of all the time we've wasted, can we still make connections in London?
We can.
Without a hitch?
There'll be no hitch of any kind. I have thought of everything.
No, Ernest. No, there's one little detail you've overlooked.
Well, I can still attend to it.
I'm afraid not. You've been so carried away by the perfection of your own plans that you've forgotten the most important thing of all. It takes two to elope. And I'm not coming.
I thought of that, too.
What? Phyllis.
Hello, Irene. Oh, hello, Ernest.
Hello, darling. You're just in time.
Have you got everything ready?
Everything. Just a second while I cut the telephone wires and the bell pull.
May I ask what you two think you're doing?
Eloping, my dear. What did you think Ernest brought the ladder for? Is it safe, darling?
Oh, of course. I made it myself. Here, I'll hold it while you go down. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least I'd like to know why you can't elope through your own window, Phyllis.
There's no ivy there.
I won't have it.
I won't be treated this way. I'm going to call Father.
Father!
I wouldn't do that if I were you. He'll only ask you why you let me in your room.
Oh, you treacherous beast. Now that I'm rid of you and your perfect plans, I've a darn good mind to elope with George Drummond.
I thought of that, too. You'll find George waiting for you in the second car. And the Chase and Sanborn hour continues.
Oh, Don.
Yes, Dottie.
How do you like it?
Like what?
My new hat, of course.
Oh, so that's what it is. We were wondering.
Well, you haven't said a thing about it all evening.
Oh, I know, Dottie. I try to be kind.
What are you talking about?
I don't say it was easy, mind you, but when I saw that hat, I just closed my eyes and I gritted my teeth and I said to myself, Amici, keep quiet, or this is the end of a beautiful friendship.
Why, I don't think you like my hat.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Dottie, but I do think you could have had it reblocked after the truck ran over it.
Don Amici, it's certainly obvious you don't understand women's hats.
Well, look, Dottie, would you explain that surrealist nightmare to me?
Well, yes, it's got a low crown, which,
Yes?
Well, no, it isn't the crown exactly. It's more the upturned brim that,
Yes?
Well, no, not the upturned brim so much. It's more the wings floating around from the crown.
Yes.
Well, no, I think the snood of red veil gives it so much,
Yes?
Well, you don't describe a hat, Don. You just wear it.
Look, Dottie, let's go right ahead as if nothing had happened and sing, shall we? If Mr. Armbruster will oblige, and I'm sure he will, Dottie and I will ignore hats entirely and turn our attention to Sing the Song of Sunbabes. You ready, Mom? Sing a song of sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may.
Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way.
Show the blues you're busy, that you just can't be annoyed.
And they'll up and go because they know you've no end, boy. People all are softies for a grin.
You give out, they'll give in.
People always love a jolly jay. They might even make you president.
So sing a song of sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may.
Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way.
Life is never perfect, but it isn't always wrong.
So the only thing to do is sing a sunbeam song.
Sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may.
Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way.
Show the blues you're busy, that you just can't be annoyed.
And they'll up and go because they know they're null and void. People all are soft for a grin.
You give out, they'll give in.
People always love a jolly jam. They might even make you president.
So sing a song of sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may.
Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way.
Life is never perfect, but it isn't always wrong.
So the only thing to do is sing a sunbeam song.
At an early age, Sergei Rachmaninoff showed promise of the brilliant pianist composer he was to become in later life. And the fulfillment of that promise has given to the world some of its greatest music. Donald Dixon sings Rachmaninoff's Sorrow in Spring. Thank you.
hair all white and with age. If the nightingale sang nevermore and the forest heard what we would see, but I still must be sad and alone, that my heart in its anguish should
of our time have achieved the distinction that has come to Miss Barbara Jo Allen. As Vera Veig, she has addressed probably every Mahjong circle, rock garden club, china painting class, and Lonely Heart Society in the country. Widely known as an authority on things, Miss Veig has brought hope and inspiration to thousands. And it's Vera Veig, the Belle of Chautauqua, that we welcome here this evening.
Afternoon, everyone. Oh, my, Mr. Beecher, it was so charming of you to introduce me in such a charming way. Thank you. Well, I think I'd better get right at my lecture here. I always believe in plunging right into a thing, don't you? I thought I'd speak this evening on science and the development of progress. Mr. Beecher, may I be frank?
I wish you would, Miss Veig.
Well, if I may say so, I have just one teeny-weeny little criticism of your program.
Well, we always welcome criticism. What don't you like about it?
These are serious times, Mr. Amici.
Yes, I saw that in the paper.
Yes. One never knows from one day to the next, does one? So I think we owe it to ourselves, don't you?
Might as well, I guess. We owe everyone else.
But I mean, now that everything is at the crossroads, I think even a program like this could profit by a little intellectual stimulus. Don't you?
Well, that's exactly why we wanted you to come here, Miss Veig.
Oh, how sweet of you. That's one of the nicest things any man ever said to me, Mr. Amici. You don't know what it means to a woman to meet a man who values her for herself alone. You see what I mean, I'm sure you do. More of that later. Now let's get on and follow through with our science thing here.
Yes, yes.
As we all know, science has made some wonderful strides lately. It's just appalling. I was reading just the other day a very enlightening news item about astronomy. It said that a Canadian scientist by the name of... I don't quite remember the name. Doesn't matter. He's dead now anyway. At any rate, scientists have figured out that light travels at the rate of 18 billion, 400 billion miles per second, which mounts up. Especially 2 cents a mile.
Well, if you ask me, they'll never get away with it.
I don't know. Some pretty strange things have... take Newton's theory, for instance. You're familiar with Newton's theory, of course.
No, I can't say I am.
Oh, well, neither am I. Then neither was Newton. He had to work it out for himself. Of course, that's the English for you. They do muddle through, don't they? But I never could see why they gave Newton all the credit. Gravitation's been going on for years. Anyway, he had to go out in the orchard and have an apple hit him on the head before he got the idea. But getting back to science.
Yes, let's.
We can trace science right back to primitive man. You know, I believe in doing things thoroughly. Don't you, Mr. Amici?
Oh, yeah, you've got to be thorough.
Yes, that's what I always say.
Never leave a stone unturned.
Yes, quite right. Now, as I was saying...
You're not thorough, you're through.
Exactly. Now, if you're through, I'll continue. Tracing science back to to the Dark Ages, we see that, we see, in the Dark Ages, we see, well, it's pretty hard to see much in the dark, isn't it? I'm particularly interested in prehistoric man myself. Nothing personal, of course.
Yeah, I know. You were young and he was young and it was in the Dark Ages and there was a moon.
Oh, Mr. Ricci, you have such a refreshing slant on science. And you're so handsome, too. Well, let's get on here. You know, to me, one of the most interesting things about prehistoric man was his clothes. He didn't wear any. What am I saying? I mean, he wore practically none. He just ran around in a little sirloin cloth.
You mean a loincloth.
I think I know what I mean, young man.
I still insist that what prehistoric man wore was a loincloth.
Oh, I see. You were there, I suppose.
No, you have the advantage of me there, Miss Vay.
Well, bless your heart.
If I may make so bold as to say, Miss Vague, you're way off the subject. You were talking about the stars.
Never mind, young man. I know what I'm doing. Now, as we all know, everybody's life is greatly affected by the star he's born under. It affects his behavior. For instance, Mr. Amici, what star were you born under?
Taurus the bull.
Well, there you are, you see? That'll teach you to interrupt when I'm butting in.
You were on the subject of astrology.
Yes, I know, but what was I going to say about it?
Heaven only knows. But if you're an astrologer, perhaps you could tell me something.
Yes.
What is the best time of the year to propose to a girl?
I always say there's no time like the present, Mr. Amici.
We'll stick to the zodiac, if you don't mind, and curb our impulses.
Oh, bless your heart. Now, let me say, I'd say the best time to propose to a girl is in June, when Capricorn is in the ascendancy. Then if she refuses you, you still have your summer vacation to look forward to. Although I did meet a young man once in April. That was while I was in Europe. He was an Italian count. In fact, he later became my fiasco.
Your fiasco? You mean your fiancé, don't you?
No, I paid my own way. Even though the count was literally bulging with money. Trouble was he bulged without it, too. His ears stuck out so far, he always reminded me of a taxi cab going down the street with both doors open.
Sounds to me as if you two were a perfect match for each other. Isn't it funny how fat men are always attracted to skinny women?
Young man, in the best places we say slender. Of course, I realize I'm skinny in the worst places.
Well, I, for one, am sorry you didn't marry your fat count and stay in Italy.
Oh, bless your heart, but I didn't want to live over there. I'd much rather live here in California, where I can be near the beaches.
Oh, there are beaches on the Mediterranean, you know.
Yes, but no California lifeguard.
Well, you're not afraid to swim at a beach without a lifeguard, are you?
It's not that I'm afraid, young man. I'm just not interested. What am I saying here? But speaking of beaches, there's a little campaign I'd like to start about them. I think there ought to be a law against men who throw sticks into the ocean for their dogs to bring back. People should be allowed to swim in peace.
That seems to me to be a very minor annoyance. They don't bother anybody much.
Well, they bother me, young man. Every time I turn over on my back to float, some dog brings me into shore. I wouldn't mind that so much if people didn't keep throwing me back in. Oh, well, I don't care, thank you.
One of our busiest songwriters these days, and one of our best, is little Johnny Mercer. Recently, he got together with Johnny Green on a new song which they call You and Your Love. It worked out so well that Bob Armbruster and I want to get together on it, too.
You and your love. kisses are. And the only things that I can see or breathe or feel are you and your appeal. You caught my eye like a shooting star that tumbles through the sky. And the little streets and buildings that made up the view are gone, just leaving you. Where is the fun I used to get from seeing a show or winning a bet? My simple life is all upset. It has no kick for me because you see there's you and your kiss, and the world can hold no greater thrill than this. So I gladly give up everything I ever knew because now I have you.
Does my hat look all right?
Yes, of course. Why? Oh, I see. You mean Miss Lupino?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Charlie, I wouldn't worry too much about that if I were you.
Oh, why?
Well, you have no reason to believe that Miss Lupino's interested in you.
Oh, but Edgar, I am interested in Charlie.
You see?
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, I've been thinking a lot about you and your future.
Yes? Well, what about our future, dear?
Well, I was just thinking that if you were my boy, I'd certainly take different steps than Mr. Bergen.
You would? For example, what?
Well, now, that 75 cents a week allowance he gives you, I don't think much of that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Bergen, listen to this. Listen, go ahead, Ida. Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, Edgar, I think that giving a boy too much spending money is the surest way to spoil him.
Yeah. What? Spoil? On 75 cents a week? Shit. I ain't even tainted.
Well, Charlie, at your age, you should be thinking of a career. Have you planned for your future?
Well, not all of it, no. I'm going fishing with Skinny Monday, and outside of that, I'm free.
Well, it's all right to be carefree, Charlie. But remember, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree.
Yeah, I don't get that remark.
I'll explain it.
Never mind, I don't want to get it.
Pardon me, does anyone mind if I put my 2 cents worth in here?
Oh, jiggers.
Of course not, Miss Vague.
2 cents. I think that'll be a fair price for her ideas on raising kids.
You see, I just love children, especially boys and girls.
Yeah. Well, that covers it, doesn't it?
Yes, and I want to have a real heart-to-heart talk with you, Charlie. Would you mind, Mr. Bergen?
Well, not at all. Either you and I can find something to talk about, can't we?
Yes, that's your course.
Hey, Bergen, don't leave me.
You know, Charlie boy, you're very darling. Oh, children, children. As my dear boyfriend always used to say before he dropped me.
Oh, he did. Didn't have the courage to carry on, huh?
No, he was a very brave man. He got a medal for distinguished service in battle.
Battle of Gettysburg, huh?
Oh, you're so clever, Charlie. Did anyone tell you you were wonderful?
Oh, hell, Miss Vega. No.
Well, then where'd you get the idea? Oh, dear, I'm just full of those little witticisms.
I can see that, yeah.
Oh, dear, you just can't help but like me. I'll grow on you.
Isn't she a character? I don't know what I'd do without you. But I'd rather.
Bless your heart. You know, Charlie, I've always wanted a little boy like you. How would you like to spend a month with me at my summer home?
Oh, not particularly. What is there to do?
Oh, there's plenty to do. The garden has to be watered.
Yeah, well, who does that?
You do. Oh. And the wood has to be chopped.
I do that?
Yes. And the lawn has to be mowed.
Lawn has to... I do that, too, huh?
Yes, you do.
How much lawn have you got there?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a very small front yard, but I'm planning to have the house moved back about 20 feet.
Yeah, well, I'll need a little help for that. It will sure be a nice rest for me, won't it?
Oh, yes. And when nighttime comes, we'll sit by the fireside and I'll spend my evenings reading to you. Until the Sandman comes.
Oh, so you're running around with him now, huh? Well, I guess you can't afford to turn anything down.
Oh, Charlie, you're such a sweet little fellow. You don't really think I'm that bad, do you? Do you really?
Well, now that you put it that way... Yes, I do.
Oh, Charlie.
But I'll tell you something. I know a fellow who likes you.
Oh, no, you must be spoofing.
Sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yes. No. Oh. Tell me. Go ahead. Tell me quickly. Who is it?
I don't think I should. I feel like a cad. But, you know, I don't like to gossip, you know?
Oh, do? Come on, tell me. Right. Don't go any further.
All right. Well, you know, Mr. Bergen, you know.
Yes.
Well, sir, he saw you, you know, when you came in.
Yes.
And he said to me, he said, "Who is that charming girl?"
Oh, who is it?
That vision of loveliness.
Well.
That breath of spring.
Well, he did, dear boy, did he really?
Of course, you know, a man doesn't say that unless he really cares. This little Cupid.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, but what else did he say?
Well, he said if you were only single,
you'll
be the answer to all his dreams.
Oh, how thrilling.
Of course, he's had some pretty horrible dreams lately.
Well, why didn't he say something to me? Why doesn't he tell me?
Well, you see, every time he tries to tell a girl he likes her, he stutters and stammers. He just can't seem to say it, see?
Oh, I see. Well, the poor thing. You, Mr. Bergen, may I talk to you, please?
Why, yes, Miss Vague. What is it?
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what?
Well, you noticed me when I came in, didn't you?
I sure did.
See, what did I tell you? See, that's...
What do you really think of me, Mr. Bergen?
Well, I'd rather not say. I don't like to express opinions because, after all, I may be wrong, you know.
Oh, no, you're not indeed. Breath of spring, vision of loveliness.
What?
No, you're not wrong, if I do say so myself.
You don't, who will?
I'm afraid I don't understand what you're trying to say, Miss Vane.
Oh, I know that romance makes you stutter and stammer, but what I mean to say is, isn't it awful to be lonely?
What?
I mean, don't you think marriage is a beautiful thing?
Well, yes.
I mean, if one person thinks or feels...
Well, I imagine so. What are you trying to say?
Oh, dear, why am I beating around the bush? Could you learn to care for me, Mr. Bergen?
Care for you? Well, Lily, I have nothing against you, but I mean... Well, I hardly...
See, that's the sign. There he goes.
Edgar, dear, you don't have to say it. Just consider it settled. We'll elope to Yuma in the morning.
What? Darling, I'm innocent. I work here.
Station WCSH on the rock-bound coast of Maine to KFI on the sunny slopes of California.
Oh, a political speech.
From KSTP in Minneapolis to WSMB on the Gulf of Mexico.
Wintergreen for president.
We give the local news on Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
Oh, my air.
In each part of the country, people will hear what's happening in their own localities. They'll hear it over their own local stations. WMAQ, WOW, WJR, KYW, KPO, and all the rest.
They all start with W or K, don't they?
Yeah, in the United States. In Canada, they start with C. Mexico with X. Great Britain with G. That was all settled years ago at an international conference.
Oh, I get it. A non-aggression treaty for the alphabet.
Then, within the United States, each station was assigned its own wavelength so local people could hear it clearly.
The greatest forward step until Don Amici.
Yeah, silence, Dixon. Those wavelengths give each locality a chance to hear its own news, things that interest the people in that locality. In fact, right in the middle of a coast-to-coast broadcast, it's possible to make sectional announcements, a different one for each part of the country. And that's what will happen now. In each part of the country, our listeners will hear the local facts, the things that mean the most to them about Chase and Sanborn Coffee. All ready? Here we go.
Thank you, Don Amici. This is Bill Spargrove speaking just to people in the East. We have something brand new in this part of the country. We're the first to get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package, and everybody is trying it. It's really wonderful coffee, a marvelous rich blend that's always freshly roasted. You can tell it's fresh just by looking at the date that's marked on every silver package. That's the date our fast trucks bring it to your grocery store from our nearest roasting oven. And it's very important to know how fresh your coffee is, because coffee can spoil, and then it's apt to taste rancid and bitter. But with dated coffee, you can count on fine, fresh flavor every time. And it makes no difference whether you serve it hot or as iced coffee. You'll appreciate the big improvement that freshness makes. There's no increase in price for Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package. Why don't you try it tomorrow? And see if you don't like this freshly roasted coffee better than any coffee you've ever had before.
Music, Mascagni's impressive intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana. The words, the incomparably beautiful Ave Maria. The singer, Donald Dixon.
Thank you.
we come to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour. An hour that is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the very best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next week. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Donald Dixon, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Our special guests will be Kay Francis and Louis Alberni. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir. Millions of people are planning to spend their vacations seeing the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Golden Gate International Exposition. Join them, and while you're there, enjoy the special attractions provided by Chase and Sanborn. In San Francisco, the colorful House of Hospitality. In New York, the magnificent Standard Brands Building featuring our great free outdoor marionette show with puppets of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Amici, and Dorothy L'Amour. Come in. You're always welcome. Next week, another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Kay Francis, Don Amici, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Donald Dixon, Louis Alberni, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program was Comes Love from the production Yokel Boy and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.